From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We continue our coverage of one of the biggest annual weeks in Illinois politics, today focusing on Republicans. Yesterday afternoon, they gathered on the Illinois State Fairgrounds for a political rally. The event featured lunch and drinks, speeches by party officials, and a fair number of red baseball caps. The speakers included the Republican leaders in the Illinois House and Senate, John Curran and Tony McCombie. There was a special guest, Gianno Caldwell, who's a consultant, author, and Fox News commentator, and the Illinois Republican Party chairwoman, Kathy Salvey.
I'm here to share with you some news. I'm going to tell you a secret, wide open. You know why we're going to win? Because this president signed the bill that stopped the largest tax increase in American history. And a little secret too, not one of our congressmen or women or either of our senators voted for it. What does that say? Boo, right?
Brief point of order, three members of Congress from Illinois did vote for that legislation. The Republicans, Darren LaHood, Mike Bost, and Mary Miller. That said, as far as I could tell, none of them was at the Republican Day rally. Look, this is a digression, but it does get at a bigger point about what sort of voices I wanted to hear from at the fair. As I was the day before at the Democratic Party rally, I wanted to connect with Republicans who are closer to the ground, doing the door-knocking, handshaking work of trying to earn votes from their fellow Illinoisans. As you know, that's been quite a bit more challenging for Illinois Republicans than it was a decade ago. Back in 2015, the GOP held half the statewide offices. Governor Bruce Rauner, Lieutenant Governor Evelyn Sanguinetti, and Comptroller Leslie Munger, who was appointed to fill out the term of the late Judy Bar Topinka. Beyond that, one of our U.S. senators was a Republican, Mark Kirk, and Republicans had nearly half of Illinois' seats in the House of Representatives, 8 Republicans to 10 Democrats. But several things changed in the last 10 years. Now Republicans have just 3 of our 17 seats in Congress, no U.S. senators, no constitutional officers, and are in super minority status in the Illinois General Assembly. So what changed? I have a hypothesis. As energizing as President Trump is for voters in downstate Illinois and other more rural places, he turned off enough voters in places like the Chicago suburbs to turn the tide against Republicans. And that's not just my hypothesis. I've heard it from the kinds of Republicans who are either not invited or not showing up at events like the State Fair rally anymore. But as you'll hear, there are not many current Republicans I talked with who share that view. So what is it? What do they think can turn the tide for the GOP in Illinois? And what is their pitch to voters next year and beyond? Again, because I taped these conversations yesterday during a rally at the fair, we're not taking calls today. But you can always email us, talk@21stshow.org is the address. Again, talk@21stshow.org. Okay, get your sunscreen. Let's head back to the fair.
Are you doing interviews?
Is he running again?
He is. This is Josh Malloy.
It's Brian Mackey. We talked on the 21st show a year or two ago. I can't remember when that
was. Mr. Mackey, it's good to actually meet you face-to-face.
Yeah. Oh, were we virtual that day?
We were.
Yeah, all right.
My name is Joshua Lloyd. I'm running for the Illinois 13th U.S. Congressional District. It goes all the way down from the East St. Louis all the way up to Springfield, and it cuts over from Springfield over to Champaign-Urbana.
Second time's the charm?
Second time's the charm. This is a midterm election. Unfortunately, voters don't turn out in the numbers like they do in the presidential election, so we need every voter to come out.
Why in 2025 are you proud to be a Republican?
I'm proud to be a Republican because we are sticking to the values that we always have. For example, fiscal conservatism. We're trying to bring down the tax burden on everyday Americans. We're protecting the constitutional amendment, whether that's freedom of speech or the Second Amendment. And we're trying to really stick to the Constitution and the written words within it. And that's what makes the United States great. We have a written document that's lasted over nearly 250 years now. And the fact that it can survive that long, one of the longest in the entire world, is phenomenal. And that's what makes the United States great.
Some people say, you know, look at the Big Beautiful Bill Act, as it's formally known, and say, well, that's going to blow up the deficit in future years. Reconcile that for me with your vision of fiscal responsibility for America.
So if you look at how the Congressional Budget Office looks at the budget, every time the government cuts taxes or cuts spending in some area, they consider it spending. So the fact that the Congressional Budget Office is saying that we are spending money, that's a little deceitful because it's not the whole picture. It's just meaning that we're cutting costs for the government and not spending as much as we used to. And so that's, quote unquote, what we're spending money on is bringing down the tax burden on everyday Americans.
Illinois Republicans particularly face an uphill battle, even as the party has done well nationally in the last couple of years. What do you think is the disconnect between, you know, why a majority of Illinois voters, maybe not in, you know, every part of Illinois certainly, but still tended to favor Democrats?
I don't think it's necessarily about the electorate not favoring Republicans. So in Illinois, about 48% voted Republican in this last election. It's just how the maps are drawn. The elected.
Yeah, I thought Trump got like 40% or so.
Well, we were up there, so.
I'm going to interrupt this conversation for a moment with a fact check of myself. Actually, President Trump's percentage of the Illinois presidential vote last year, 2024, was 43.47%. Vice President Kamala Harris got 54.37%, so that's a difference of 11 percentage points. But once again, just correcting myself. Now that I have the benefit of a computer in front of me, President Trump's vote totals in 2024, about 43.5% of the presidential votes cast in Illinois. All right, back to the interview with Mr. Lloyd.
Well, we were up there, so a lot of the areas within Illinois are drawn by the state and federal officials, so they get to choose who votes for them instead of the electorate voting for who they want to see in office. So it's really hypocritical for J.B. Pritzker to say that Texas is in the wrong when J.B. Pritzker himself is one of the most notorious individuals for gerrymandering. Take, for instance, the 13th Congressional District. It's almost 200 miles.
You're going to have to run,
yeah. Yeah. It's 200 miles long and about 15 miles wide, and it's 4 hours end-to-end. But what they did is they connected two heavily Democratic metro areas, the East St. Louis area and Champaign and Urbana, and those are the two counties that carry this district just because of those two cities. And they do that with various different districts, whether it's Eric Sorensen or the 3rd Congressional District.
But the fact remains you're going to have to run in that Democratic-drawn 13th district. What is your pitch to those voters who did carry it for your opponent last time and, I guess, presumptive opponent this time, Congresswoman Budzinski?
Well, I want individuals to look at their energy bills and tell me that it is not higher than what it was last year. If life is becoming harder to live here in Illinois, I want you to take a good look at why that is and see which party is actually trying to bring down the cost of living in the United States, whether it's energy, food prices, or even bring up the salaries of your work life. So I really want to talk with individuals throughout the district, whether you're in trades or labor, whether you're in the military, whether you're in education.
Big picture, last question. Is President Trump and the Make America Great Again movement and all that, everything that's happening in Washington now, is that a net positive or a net negative for Illinois Republicans in particular?
We have seen a lot of coattails with the MAGA movement and President Trump. A lot of people are seeing what he's doing. He's a very large voice. He might not always be polished, but what he's trying to do is always in the best interest of the American people. And so whether individuals like his personality or not, you also got to look at his policy and what he's pushing forward. So I understand people might not think that he has the greatest of character, but you also have to admit that he is pushing forward some great legislation to help everyday Americans.
I talked to a lot of people yesterday who have a different perspective on both his personality and his policy, but it's Democrats Day, I guess. That's what you get.
Well, I like to say that Democrats are just Republicans who say they're Democrat.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Brian.
All right, let me take a moment to remind listeners. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're listening to a series of interviews I conducted at the Republican Day rally at the Illinois State Fairgrounds. No calls today because the show is on tape, but you can always let us know what you thought by leaving a voicemail at 217-300-2121.
My name is Ryan Teberg. I am currently in Springfield, Illinois. I'm originally from Menard County, Petersburg, Illinois. So I'm currently a Republican. I consider myself a center-right. Some of the issues that I want to take on is middle-class issues because I think that's where most of us are. And I want to take on energy issues. So a lot of people, as they recently have seen, their electric bills are skyrocketing. So some of the issues I'd like to see is where we actually focus on an all-energy approach. I'd also like to see more modular nuclear reactors throughout the state of Illinois because that will help create jobs. That helps, puts investment in the state of Illinois. And it also will help clean energy as well.
So I see you have a clipboard with you. You're circulating petitions. What office are you running for?
I'm running against Mary Millen, the Illinois 15th Congressional District. I am running as a Republican. What I think separates me from Mary is the fact that my commitment to the people rather than the party, I'm running for the people and the issues, not the party.
I'm guessing this is going to be an uphill battle, right? She's established, she's an incumbent. How are you approaching, you know, campaigning and trying to take on any incumbent challenges is tricky.
So for me, I'm sticking to the issues. I'm sticking to the people. I'm having these interactions like I'm having with you. And that's how I think you change people. I'm going to every doorstep. Every signature I've gotten so far has been direct connection with one-on-one an individual. I don't need people to make those interactions with me. I want those interactions directly with the people because those are what flips votes. I also have to say, for me, I will outwork Mary when it means the commitment to the community and for the people.
Why are you a Republican in 2025? What makes you proud to be a Republican?
So I'm sure you'll see, because there's a lot of other medias that have talked about this, I was a former Democrat, and I did not like the direction the Democrat Party was going. So for me, I didn't recognize this was no longer my tribe. And so a couple of my friends introduced me to some of the Sangamon County Republicans that I realized our issues align a lot more than I think they do. But I think a lot of it comes down to most of us are in the center, and the issues are center. And the fact that the extremes on both sides are what's causing the issues and infighting within Congress. And so when I say I'm a Republican, that means I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm pro-Second Amendment. I support small businesses. I own 3 small businesses. I also believe in lowering our taxes because that's money that's coming out of your pocket, going to D.C., and that means that you're losing money. That means family vacations, food on the table, energy. Everything is going up. So we need to lower those taxes.
What do you think it is about Republicans that hasn't resonated with Illinois voters such that every constitutional officer is a Democrat now, both U.S. senators are Democrats, setting aside the gerrymandering question, which is a factor I will grant you in the House?
I think it's lack of engagement. I think what it is people need to start engaging people on the doorsteps, talking to the young voters, talking to the older voters, because a lot of times our issues don't always align, but our core issues do, which means we need to be the people first, and I feel like that's where people have lost, where we're not representing people anymore. We're representing special interests, and we need to get back to supporting people.
President Trump, do you think he's a net positive or a net negative for Illinois Republicans and their chances?
I think he's trying his best. I think he's trying to do what he feels best for the country. But regarding Illinois politics, Illinois is a Democrat state. So regardless of what he does, yes, his policies may benefit Illinois, but the problem is we still have Chicago, and that's still going to be the powerhouse of the state. So what we need to do is focus on downstate tickets where we can actually elect good Republicans, not just people who support the party, but support people and support the issues that we're facing. So if you do that, I think you have the option to make inroads with Democrats and Republicans where you bring it back home to people.
What is your sort of main critique of Congresswoman Miller?
Her lack of engagement and the fact that she has had the option to bring federal discretionary and community-based programming money back to the state. I've spoken to a lot of sheriffs and a lot of different people in the community, and they don't feel like they're getting that infrastructure investment. That's federal money that we send out to Washington. That's money we should be getting back. Illinois sends more than we receive, so we should be receiving more money back into the state.
Are there any areas where you're thinking, oh, boy, I wish President Trump hadn't done XYZ?
Not at the moment. One of the things that I do actually like that President Trump is doing is the fact that he's taking on Whole Foods. That actually helps farmers.
As a company or the concept of Whole Foods? What do you mean?
Whole Foods meaning like we're getting back to getting rid of manufactured foods, all these chemicals in our foods. Those are foods that actually affect our...
The Maha, I think.
Yes. I like the fact that we are actually getting back what I, like I said, I call whole foods, but that's taking all those chemicals out of our foods that are adversely affecting our health. If you look at people, obesity back then versus what it is now, people in the 70s were less obese, and I think a lot of it comes down to what we're putting in our foods, what we're eating. A lot of it's manufactured food. High fructose corn syrup is a big issue within our food industry. So I would like to see, I know that helps farmers, but also at the same time, we need other resources and other avenues to help farmers as well, not just taking on ethanol and corn.
Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, more from Republican Day at the Illinois State Fair. Then later in the hour, an interview with the director of the Illinois Department of Agriculture. This is The 21st Show.
Support for The 21st Show comes from listeners like you and the Des Moines Art Center, presenting Firlai Baez, featuring colorful, large-scale works engaging history and legacy. On view through September 21st. Details at DesMoinesArtCenter.org.
It's The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. For the first part of the program today, we're listening to a series of conversations I had with candidates at Republican Day at the Illinois State Fair. These were recorded yesterday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, so we're not taking calls live, but you can let us know what you think. Our email address, talk@21stshow.org. talk@21stshow.org.
Jill Tracy, I'm a state senator for the Illinois Senate in the 50th District.
I was trying to remember, was it, you were Dillard's?
I was a candidate for Kirk Dillard in 2014.
14, okay. I was trying to remember when it was, if it was 10 years ago or 12 years ago, at one of these events, there were four people who wanted to be governor. There was so much energy. Talk about the Illinois Republican Party then and today.
You know, I think we're still strong. I think people are still energized, especially on Republican Day at the state fair. The redistricting was brutal for us, and it gave us a lot of pause because we lost races, even though we know, for instance, Donald Trump carried over 40% of the Republican voters in the state of Illinois, but yet we have three congressional districts in the Republicans that are held by Republicans, and so it's been rough. You're running against a multi-billionaire for governor, and I'm happy that my brother-in-law Don Tracy is running for U.S. Senate. It's great to have Don, who I know is reputable, dedicated, and has energy to run and perform the duties of U.S. state senator, or U.S. U.S. senator, actually. And I think that's a great top of the ticket. I'm hoping we'll hear some good other names for governor. Certainly we had some in the past, but I'm looking for another very reputable person to step in and want to do it, because I got to tell you, in my district, people are very upset with some of Governor Pritzker's policies. Most importantly, the crisis in downstate Illinois is the Ameren bills. The utility bills are crushing our working families, crushing businesses, and the governor seems to be ignoring the whole issue of the crisis he helped create under the clean energy bill.
And yet, 10 years ago, half the constitutional officers were Republican. One of the U.S. senators was Republican. What's it going to take to reach back out to those voters to get back to that?
Fair and independent maps.
That state, even the statewide offices, those aren't influenced by the gerrymandering.
Well, you know, very good point. But nevertheless, it swings that way, money for elections and all of that. And many of us are just focused on running for election. The House has to run every 2 years. This year, the Senate Republicans are facing 16 of their 19 seats up for election. So I think that has something to do with it, too. So anyway, I'm still excited. I'm glad to be here for Republican Day and looking forward. I think Illinois is going to continue to move forward more conservatively.
Last question. In 2025, what makes you proud or happy to be a Republican?
Oh, the values, the principles. We believe in limited government. We believe in local government control. We believe in good fiscal policy, which means don't overspend and always have a reserve. And we believe in capitalism and small business and all of that that builds good economies.
Do you feel like all that's coming out of Washington? All those
I absolutely do. I absolutely do.
My name is Ajay Gupta. I'm from Naperville, and I'm running for state rep in Illinois House District 41.
Where is that for people who don't have the districts memorized?
Okay, so Illinois House District 41 has in it Naperville, Warrenville, and a little bit of Bolingbrook. And the two counties are DuPage County and Will County.
I'm originally from the south suburbs. To me, everything north of Bolingbrook was Wisconsin, but...
So DuPage is a pretty large county now. And two-thirds of the district is DuPage, and one-third of the district is Will County.
Why are you a Republican in 2025?
Because I believe in common sense. Republicans are now the party of common sense. People who would like to restore some some measure of common sense to the legislature, fiscal common sense, some measure of social common sense to our schools and to our neighborhoods.
Draw that out for me. Common sense takes what form? What are some specific issues?
Fiscal common sense means we don't spend money that we don't have. Springfield keeps spending money that Illinois does not have. Springfield spent $1 billion on illegal aliens in 24. About 6 million Illinoisans paid state income tax. That's saying that we're going to take $200 from each one of the state income tax payers and use it to house people who shouldn't even be here in the first place. At the same time, Illinois spent $125 million on veterans. So 10 cents go to people who protected our border for each dollar that goes to people who invaded our border. That is not common sense.
Where does the billion figure come from? I haven't heard that exact number before.
Maybe it's
the billion figure consists of the money spent on healthcare for illegals, kids, immigrants, and seniors. That's about 750 to 800 million. And another 200 to 250 million was spent on J.B. Pritzker's welcoming centers for illegal aliens.
There was just a naturalization ceremony here on the fairgrounds yesterday, as a matter of fact. I'm going to venture a guess, based on your accent, that you were not born here. Talk about that and, you know, the idea that America's, you know, some people, Democrats will say, and they said yesterday, it's a beacon for immigrants, right? People should want to come here. They should be able to come here and build a life here.
I'm happy to talk about that. I am a legal immigrant. I came to this country as a student to go to business school. I went on to law school. I practiced law. I was naturalized as a citizen. And then I worked for the federal government, and part of my stint with the federal government included a short period as a federal prosecutor down in Atlanta. Now, think about the awesome privilege. No longer was it Ajay Gupta to the United States. Now I went into court and said, Ajay Gupta for the United States. And it's funny you mentioned naturalization. One of my last official duties as a special assistant United States attorney in the Northern District of Georgia was to represent the government at a naturalization ceremony. Only a few short years earlier, I had been on the other side of that ceremony. And now I went into court and I certified to the presiding judge that the 100 or so individuals standing in front of him had been found qualified to be admitted as citizens and should be administered the oath of office. That is the American way. This is the only country where something like that could be possible. It's the greatest country on God's green earth. And when you break those rules of law, and when you say anybody can invade the border, you're destroying what is so special about this country. So, Democrats love to conflate the two. Immigrants are people who are lawfully here. And simply immigrating is not enough. You have to assimilate and you have to integrate. And the Democrats have totally, completely thrown that by the wayside. It is all about power for them. So, no, I don't think the state of Illinois should be spending $1 billion on people who should not even be here in the first place. And they come up with ridiculous slogans like, no person is an illegal. I don't even know what that means. Like, no income is illegal? Of course, we are a country of laws. Incomes can be legal or illegal, and people can be legal or illegal. And the Democrats will do anything for power, and if that means throwing laws by the wayside, they will go ahead and do that.
We
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Nice Thank you. Nice talking to you, too.
Do you have a card or anything like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce the program. This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are listening to conversations I recorded yesterday with candidates at Republican Day at the Illinois State Fair.
Hi, I'm Mark Rice. I'm running for the Illinois 8th District for U.S. Congress.
Where is that for people who don't have the map?
So that's the northwest suburbs. It's also part of Chicago, very little bit around O'Hare Airport, and then it's DuPage County, Kane County, and Cook County. It's a district that has traditionally been purple. It's been Republican and Democrat over the last 30 years, almost equal. And
this Congressman Roger Krishnamurti is the incumbent.
For 8 years, he'll be going on 10 years, but he's now running for Senate. So he is not running for re-election. So it's an open seat. I ran against him and his 10 years name ID and against his $8 million, which is the most in Illinois by far, actually about double. And I still came close. But anyway, this next time it's an open seat. And now I have name ID, which I had none. So we feel really good about the race.
Why are you proud to be a Republican at this time in American history, 2025?
So I sense change. I think for the first time, maybe in my lifetime, other than Trump's first term, but maybe more than Trump's first term, we have a president who's fighting for us. It's not like it was before. And I'm still living in Illinois, and I could, like so many others, just move to Texas or Florida and get the heck out, because it's completely dominated by leftism and Democrat principles, which I think are really holding the state back. And I think now people are seeing it in their taxes and the crime and inflation and in everything. And I that's why my district is a D plus one. It's only 1% Democrat. And so in spite of the gerrymandering, the people are speaking. And so here I am, a business guy, not a politician. You can read my hat. No more career politicians. I'm against all that corruption and fraud and abuse. And I think that message is hitting people really well.
Republicans have not, district by district is different. Gerrymandering does give the Democrats an advantage. But Republicans have struggled overall in Illinois for more than a decade now. Yes. We used to have governor, lieutenant governor, controller. One of the U.S. senators was Republican.
Yeah,
what do you think has been, to what do you attribute that?
So a lot of people are, especially in today's news, and I was at the Q Center, which is in St. Charles, which is in my district, to see the Texans who were here. So gerrymandering. It's really true that it is hurtful to the Republicans because it's drawn by Pritzker, even though he's hypocritical and lied. Gerrymandering is a factor, but the bigger factor is over 10 years, we've essentially atrophied as a party. So there really is no party. We're here at the party event, but you know, at the end of the day, we have very little left. No gas in the tank, no money, no organization. And that to me is the bigger problem. So here I am as a candidate. So I'm raising my own money. I'm not relying on the party because the party barely exists to run a campaign along the line of what Donald Trump did with coordinating with Donald Trump's people. And we can win in that way. But to rely on a party which is atrophied so very much that it's hardly here, those races are very hard. So we do have a few, not many, but a few strong independent Republican conservative candidates. And I think they've got a good chance. And I happen to be in the district that mathematically is the most likely to flip at a D plus one.
I'm going to try a different hypothesis on you. President Trump generates strong emotions, and as much as people here today, and you maybe, appreciate him and like him, Democrats, he sets their teeth on edge, and they cannot envision voting for anyone who even shares a party affiliation with him. Yeah. What do you say to that?
So TDS, you know, Trump derangement syndrome, is a real thing. I have some of it in my own family, so I can completely relate to that. For some people, the personal politics of Donald Trump, they just can't bear. But now I think people are waking up, because I know some of these people that maybe hate Donald Trump the person, but they love paying lower taxes. They love having law and order. They love peace instead of war. And he keeps winning every day. We joke around, we say on policy, on issues, the Democrats seem to be going for these 15% issues. They're for DEI and men in women's bathrooms and all this nonsense. And then they tend to lie about things like saying that the stock market's at a record high. Interest rates are coming down.
You had that line, men in women's bathrooms. I've got a colleague who identifies as trans. One of my, a guy I know who's also a reporter, his kid came on the show. I was just interviewing another candidate.
Yeah.
What do you think is happening? What do you think is happening there? Do you think people are faking it, making it up? What is your understanding of what is happening with those people?
I think the more liberal side would say that this is who they truly are. Even children, they would say as a child that if they feel in their mind that they're a woman and they're in a man's body, that we should appease that feeling and allow them, for example, to get naked with girls, even though they're fully intact males. And I think that really we should probably treat that as more of a mental issue and see if we can fix it from that standpoint well before we even consider things like surgery, you know, life-altering surgery that's irreversible, especially for children. I think if...
What about for adults, though? I mean...
Put
a pin in the children's argument, because okay. I know that gets emotions going. Okay. But you know, these are adults who say, look, I've felt this way for decades or a decade. Yeah, what do you...
God bless them. You know, if you're an adult and you don't need consent from another adult, you're just an adult, and you think you're a pirate or you're a man or a woman or whatever, God bless, you should have the right to do that. I'm for smaller government and the government not controlling everything about you, but it shouldn't infringe on other people's rights. So that's where you get into a gray area. If somebody wants to put on a dress and be a woman, and they're actually a fully intact male, that's fine. I would support that, but I don't think we should, for instance, pay for that or pay for surgery to enhance that. And we shouldn't allow, for instance, those fully intact males to get naked with girls in a locker room. Or even women, for that matter. I think we have to have some limits on appeasing people's feelings.
What if they're post-surgery?
That's an interesting thing. I haven't given that a lot of thought, so I don't know. I suppose it's back to the question, what is a woman? You know, if somebody is technically a woman, if they have female body parts, maybe, then I suppose that would probably be fine. I haven't really given that a lot of thought.
Why do you think this issue occupies... You
know,
it's a half percent,
right?
Half to 1.5, yeah. Right. So why do you think this issue occupies so much brain space, especially on the right, but also on
I
the
guess
left?
It's emotional, you know, and these politicians don't care about anything. They don't care about us. I'll tell you that, and that's why I'm running. I can't take it, and I'm pointing that out. And what they do is they find these emotional, divisive issues, and it could be abortion, or it could be the trans thing, or gender, or DEI. These are 1% issues. And on those issues, though, even though they're divisive and they're emotional, so the politicians are using those to raise money so they can get reelected. But what's interesting is the Democrats tend to come down on the, like I said, the 15%, the smaller group that's for example, men being in, fully intact men being in girls' bathrooms. They're for that. Republicans are against it. So on balance, I think it actually helps the conservatives and Republicans to get voters because people think it's crazy. I mean, I have a daughter. I don't want men in my daughter's locker room. I just don't. Sorry if that makes me a racist or makes me some kind of, if some people will probably think that of me for saying that, but that's how I feel. I just don't think my daughter should have to be naked in front of other men.
All right. I think that's a good place to end it. I want to thank Mark Rice, Ajay Gupta, State Senator Jill Tracy, Ryan Teberg, and Joshua Lloyd for speaking with me at Republican Day at the Illinois State Fair. This is the 21st Show.